You're watching the China Show live at the Asian Financial Forum in Hong Kong. And I think we've been talking about just how optimistic everyone has been here when it comes to the IPO pipeline and the like here. Someone that has really kind of seen it all, the whole wave that we saw last year, was Morgan Stanley. The Asia CEO, of course, Gokul Lohia, joins us here exclusively on the China Show. Gokul, it's great to have you back on the program. You set a pretty interesting sort of goal, right? Last year, about $10 billion in revenue within 5 years. You were pretty close to kind of hitting it, basically, last year, and maybe kind of moving that goal much sooner than expected. In terms of the deal flow in M&A and IPOs, how sustainable do you think it is?
Look, it's been a first, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. It's been a really robust environment. Capital markets, M&A. The wealth management business, and even geographically. So China's been super strong, Hong Kong, China. Japan's been busy. India's been busy. And then the rest of the region, Taiwan, Korea, just given what's happening in the world with the AI dynamic, these are direct beneficiaries of that underlying thematic, which is a really powerful one. So business has been busy. Business has been good. We're not changing any goals, but we're close.
Yeah, you're very close. Yeah, well, I guess to the point you just made there, do you think we're just scratching the surface on this AI fundraising extravaganza? Like, what are you seeing in as far as your clients and how your conversations across the region?
I mean, look, it's a powerful thematic, right? And the infrastructure needed to actually create the platform for full realization. And you know, the perspectives are a little different depending on which part of the world you look at. The investment that's happening in the U.S. far greater than the investment that's happening anywhere else in the world. But if you think about it globally, I think the point you mentioned about scratching the surface is a good one. If you think about it in China, too, the thematics that are emerging, you know, AI infrastructure, AI adoption, localization of the semiconductor supply chain, we're just at the very beginning. Industrial automation, robotics, humanoids, etc. We're just at the beginning of this.
Okay.
So I'm excited about it. Our investors are excited about it. Our bankers are excited about it. So, you know, usually when you get too excited about things, they don't quite work out that way. So is there a risk? Absolutely there's a risk. But to me, that's not different from what we've seen in the past. Whenever you have technology that revolutionize, you know, at the risk of being a little bit dramatic, that revolutionize the world, you know, there will be some misallocation of capital. There will be overinvestment. But broadly, I think we're onto something over here.
Is that overinvestment? Is that likely going to be in the debt markets? Because we saw a lot of, you know, in the U.S. at least, a lot of issuance and a lot of, you know, financing there when it comes to AI. How are you seeing that play out in Asia in terms of AI financing now?
I mean, the levels of investment, as I mentioned earlier, in this part of the world, meaningfully less than what's happening in the U.S. And I think that's a different approach to what you need to build and how you need to build it and what capacity you need to have. At this point, it's a little unclear as to who's right. We'll figure that out. But so there's, by definition, less of a chance that there's misallocation over here because there hasn't been that much investment. You know, what excites me about this whole thing is that, you know, we've done some math, and this is obviously theoretical at this point, but if AI plays out the way it's going to play out, just for S&P 500, there's approximately $1 trillion of efficiency, whether that's through enhanced revenues or savings and costs. And then if you capitalize that expansion in margins, the value creation is pretty dramatic. So, yes, there's been a lot of chatter about this $3 trillion spend number. But if you capitalize the savings, the returns are well and truly spectacular. Now, I don't think it's going to be linear, and that is going to continue to sort of get better. There'll be ups and downs, but I just think about Morgan Stanley and how we're thinking about it. And when I look back to front, the use cases and the impact these use cases can have on our business, pretty exciting.
I want to ask you too, speaking of deals, you guys topped the league tables last year.
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 VCN20210130。
Globally and even the Asia Pacific. So what are you seeing early in 2026 as far as the same equity pipeline is concerned?
So in Asia and China and India are the two big markets for the IPO pipeline. Last year, Hong Kong obviously was incredibly exciting, you know, close to $40 billion. We haven't seen that in a while. And if you think about where that came from, it's really these thematics. Biotech, the innovation is actually world class. Industrial automation, We spoke about AI, you know, the metals and mining space, obviously really, really hot right now. So it's a continuation of that. So there's going to be more of that. There's going to be more in India. And then Japan's getting increasingly busy. So three big economies in the world and obviously in Asia all have some exciting stuff going on.
There's been a clear sort of fee compression among investment banks. And, you know, you guys are advised on the CATL listing, which was known to have low fees amidst this kind of competition domestically with Chinese brokerages. Do you see this as sort of a new norm in some ways?
I mean, look, the truth is it's been happening for a while. It's a part of our business that we don't like, but it's the reality of life.
But it's
kind of stabilizing. We haven't seen dramatic fee compression over the last couple of years. I mean, it's been happening consistently. I think we're at a point now where we're going to stabilize.
Okay. Do you think we've hit a bottom?
I think so. I mean, I say that and it'll probably go down again, but I think we're close.
Okay. And are you noticing that, just the nuance, are you noticing that, is it across the board or is it down to specific deals? Not we'll get into specific deals, but I wonder if we're making too much of it.
I think it's more systemic, but but it's at a level which is still pretty constructive for us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the business.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. A good problem to have, I think, if you think about things have come alive in terms of volume, right? And I think we were talking during the break. We had this report on Friday. You know, China is mulling, based on our reporting, tightening some rules over listings here, specifically in Hong Kong. Have you heard anything along those lines? What do you think that's about?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right about volume. Volume is, and we spoke about it a little bit, volume is quite robust. And the expectation is that that continues. And if you think about the number of companies, and certainly sticking to China for a second, the number of companies in China that want to come and list in Hong Kong is at record levels. So what you're referring to is probably in part an issue of capacity. Capacity for everyone, regulators, other intermediaries, and I think it's good discipline to slow things down a little bit just to make sure that quality is not compromised, because Hong Kong in particular very focused on that, and I think both the Chinese regulator and the Hong Kong regulator super focused on that. So I think it's more that than anything else. I don't think there's any change in direction in terms of the best Chinese companies that have global ambition come and list in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong being the financial center for Chinese companies looking to go global. That hasn't changed.
Okay.
I think the administration just wants good companies to come, and the intermediaries that work with those companies need to sort of check all the boxes.
Just looking broadly here in terms of the trading business, how's that shaping up? I mean, we started 2026 with the Trump administration's second year very different from the first. How are investors positioning around these policies now?
I mean, look, the volume, if you just think about volume as a barometer, it's higher than it's been in a very long time. And think about China for the first couple of weeks of the year. Volume traded in the A-share market has been at record levels. I mean, last week was just incredible volumes. And I think part of what's happening is global, to your point, but part of what's happening is local. So when I say that, in China, there is a move out of bank deposits in the bond market just because the yields are low.
Yeah.
And dividend yields on the Chinese market is higher than actually either one of the bond yields or the fixed deposit returns. So you're seeing a reallocation of the savings. This happened in India some time ago, and Japan's trying to orchestrate that too with the return of inflation. So when these volumes come to the market, you know, they add up, and it's a pretty good environment. And then on top of that, you've obviously got the geopolitics and the volatility associated with the geopolitics, and that adds to the mix. So it's really a global-local combination.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you mentioned there are specific Asia stories that are adding, simply positive Asia stories, right? Whether that's the Japan side, the India side, which hopefully will come back even further, the China side. And I wonder, from a capacity standpoint, any Bloomberg interview with the Bulge Bracket won't be complete without me asking you about headcount. So what are your plans about headcount, whether or not you're happy with your capacity?
So two things. Yeah. One, we've got a pretty well sort of built out footprint.
Okay.
But if this volume trend continues, headcount's going to grow. There's no question. And notwithstanding, technology now allows us to do a lot more with the same number of heads. There's no question. I mean, when I'm trading, you know, if Stock Connect, you know, we were trading $5-10 billion a day. Now we're trading $15-20 billion a day. that does not require me to
put in more heads.
That I just invest in the plant and I invest in technology, and that allows me to scale the business dramatically. But the wealth management business is growing, the IPO business is growing, the M&A business is growing. That requires heads to prosecute. So, you know, to the extent that this trend continues, I think we're going to continue to build the footprint of it.
Okay. In terms of roles, though, what do you think is still what you need in this region here right now?
Look, we love our wealth business in the region. Okay. So if you have any financial advisors who want to come join us, please let me know.
I'll send you the resume.
Yeah, we got the CV for whatever reason.
Yeah, we're looking to build that out. Capital markets professionals. We're looking to build that out. We're looking to build our commodities business in Asia out.
Okay.
So
okay.
there's areas where... you know, for us, markets become interesting if they have scale, and there's a bunch of markets in Asia that have scale, but also as they deregulate and you can do more. So as we can do more, we look to fill those footprint gaps with quality talent.
Yeah.
To ask you about Japan, you have a long-standing partner there, of course, in Japan. Are you happy with that footprint?
Oh,
because
yeah.
That market's really come back, arguably in a bigger way, in a bigger scale than where we are as far as the greater Chinese market is concerned, right?
Well, you've heard Ted speak about it. I mean, our partnership with MUFG is special, and it's something that we seriously value, and, you know, we've been partners with them now for almost two decades.
Mm.
And with everything that's going on in Japan, both as a return to inflation and nominal GDP growth, but also corporate reform matter, that footprint and that platform, I think, is very differentiated. So it allows us to do more.
Yeah.
It's complementary in terms of their footprint, our product skills, the intent is to continue to grow that. And as you know, we're doing more with them. We've brought together our equities practice. We've brought together our FX practice. We're going to get into power trading. Again, as we can do more there, that partnership is very special and unique, actually.
What is your overview of the volatility that we've seen across JGBs? And again, I mean, there's talk of maybe even possible coordinated intervention from the U.S. and Japan. Is this sort of just, you know, real concerns on fiscal sustainability, you think? Or is it just kind of an economy that's really just reflating and exiting out of decades of stagflation that, you know, investors really have to really contend with now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's the latter. My own view, look, we're not concerned about fiscal sustainability in Japan. I mean, the deficit is not that big. They've delevered substantially over the last several years. This was much more, you know, who's buying the long end? Where Japanese insurers, and by the way, Japanese debt is mostly owned by Japanese domestic institutions, but they buy 10 to 30, they don't buy 40. So there's not a lot of liquidity at that part of the curve, and that caused the move, and obviously that creates nervousness, but I think it was an idiosyncratic event. We may see some volatility associated with this over time, but we're not concerned about Japanese fiscal. You know, as you point out, it's an economy that's reflating. Some of it is political in terms of the deficit expansion, but that's happening in almost every part of the world right now. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for spending some time with us this morning. We'll speak to you again. And we'll send you the CVs if we get, we'll fill some. Let's see, depending on the quality. Say hi to your team for us, of course.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Gokul Arora there, of course, Chief Executive Officer for the Asia Pacific at Morgan Stanley.